in a Jeep through Bethlehem, oh, or yeah? riding a camel on the desert. We have a great, great Bible study teacher. Brother Jim knows his stuff, and he knows how to bring it to us in a way that we so enjoy. Brother Jim, we wish it could be 10 million, but we would like to say thank you so thank much you. For all you do for us. We love you and appreciate
you. Thank you. I appreciate that, Becky. I appreciate every card that we've sent, every good wish, and cookies. What did I? Oh, that we received. Yeah, we haven't sent any cards in a long time, but I appreciate everything that you do for us, everything. God bless you for your faithfulness, and we appreciate your kindness. We appreciate your love, and we love you back. We love everybody, and so thankful. I'll tell you what, I've been in this church when you walked through the doors, and there was warfare going on between the congregation. But that's been gone a long time, and I'm so grateful. I'm glad that when we come in, we love one another. Now, I'm not doing a lot of hugging today because I've had a little bit of a cough, and I don't want to pass it on. But the love, we want to pass on. We love you with all of our hearts. I got to give Brother Art a card.
Yeah, let's catch Brother Artin up. This is the one that both of you have to come up for, though. So, Mom, come up. Becky mentioned that she wished it was 10 million. This is the 10 million. No, it's not really. But we just want to appreciate you, not just the pastor and the Sunday school teacher, but also both of you as pastors, as pastor and pastor's wife or co-pastor, whatever you want to call it. You know, I told Audrey recently that I was surprised to see a bit of a change when we did the election, you know, to elect them in officially. There was a change, like a real embracing, you know. I thought it would be kind of the same, you know, more of the same, and it wasn't. It was, you both committed yourselves and embraced this passionately, and we appreciate that.
Thank you. Again, we appreciate all of your love and everything you give, and we appreciate it, and we're honored, and we're blessed. I'm blessed to be married to Debbie. Debbie was born and raised in this church, and when I met her in 1973, I became kind of somewhat of a member, and later on we became a member and a youth leader and all of that. But Donnie is right. When you're elected in, it's a different role than when you're filling in, right? And we appreciate the opportunity. There's a lot of churches in the world today, but this is the one where our heart is and where we care. And I believe God's got great things ahead for us. Now, I'm going to introduce Debbie, and she's going to share with you. And I'm just blessed to have her as, I may be her co-pastor, because she has something that's good, and a poem and a blog that's going to bless you.
I wrote this a few weeks ago, and then just before the presentation we had last week, the poem came to me. So I wrote it, I put the poem in the brochure that we gave out last week, so I'm sorry if you have to listen to this again. If you read it there and you have to listen again. But first, let me get into the little blog that I wrote. This is called Christmas Hope. I confess, we like to watch those silly, sappy, Hallmark Christmas movies. You know the ones where you figure out the plot within the first 2 minutes that the movie starts? It goes like this. Raised in a small town, leaves small town for big city, returns to small town, finds romance, has snowball fights, attends tree lighting, drinks hot chocolate, has misunderstandings, reconciliations, and of course, one kiss at the end. And if you know the pattern of Hallmark movies. If they kiss in the middle of the movie, they're done for, right? Then there are the recurring themes that we see over and over again. Meddling mothers, loved ones who've passed away, old boyfriends who magically fall back in love, and my very favorite, sort of, throwing flour at each other while baking Christmas cookies. I have never understood that. First of all, I am not inclined to bake Christmas cookies at all, but if I were, I certainly would not stand there and throw flour around the kitchen that I have to clean up. It's interesting, when we read the biblical accounts of the Nativity story, we also find some recurring themes and even some similarities. They didn't throw snowballs or flour, but we do find small towns, stars, romance, plenty of drama, mystery, angels, promises, miracles, and certainly reconciliation. But perhaps one of the most important factors woven throughout the birth of Jesus is hope. Hope that mankind could find love and redemption from sin. Ephesians 2:18 tells us that we were aliens, strangers to God, lost in sin and without hope. But thank God, hope came to the world when Jesus was born. I love the simple, beautiful words of Matthew chapter 1, as it's stated in the King James Version in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It's succinct, complete, poetic. I can imagine that Mary and Joseph were scared, confused, excited, and yet hopeful all at one time. They were charged with a big job, to raise the Son of God. As the song says, did they know about the sacrifice Jesus would have to make to save his people from their sins? I can't even imagine how that must have felt. Sometimes it seems that hope gets buried by life's events, and it literally has to fight its way to the top of our minds. Colossians 1:20 talks about us being aliens and enemies in our minds. And yet now, through the birth, death, and resurrection of Christ, he has resurrected himself, he has reconciled us to himself. Verse 23 admonishes us to remain grounded and settled in our faith in him and not to move away from the hope of the gospel. Proverbs 10:28 promises that the hope of righteousness shall be gladness. The gospel of the birth of Christ is a beautiful story, and while every detail isn't recounted for us in Scripture, we certainly do believe that it is truth and that it's real, and that in believing that gospel carries with it the promise of hope. Hope that even you and I are loved, redeemed, reconciled. It sounds like the makings of a great plot to me. We must be careful not to separate the birth from the life or the death of Christ, for in doing so, we lose that continuance of hope. The gospel, or the good news, is a complete story from the beginning to the end to a new beginning. It is what gives us the faith to plod on through the maze of this life and even traverse the minefield of our own minds. It's the knowledge that we will reign with Christ. It's what he came for. Merry Christmas to you and your families as you celebrate the birth of Christ during this season, who is, after all, the greatest gift ever given. The promise of love. There were sheep and shepherds and heavenly lights, cattle and wise men and stars shining bright, a manger, a mother, a promise foretold, and gifts of frankincense, spices, and gold. There was a heavenly Father looking down on all, beaming with love for his child in the stall. The angels sang and brought tidings of joy, for the promise had come, a sweet baby boy. There was new life and hope for a perishing world. Salvation, compassion, on us he unfurled. He came with a message born of free will, a Christmas promise on that night so still. There should have been royals and palace so fair, with wealth and riches and never a care. But he left all that splendor and his Father above to be born in a manger, the promise of love.
Now, I really, you've been blessed already. I can kind of coast because I love that poem. Debbie read it to me, and she said I laughed, but it's because it's exactly what I was thinking about for this sermon and this service. The title of my message today is He Came to Me. A few years ago, Brother Rob led us through a Christmas program that was called He's Still the King of Kings. And it was written or arranged, I guess, by Mosey Lister. There is a song that we sang, I wish I had it to play for you today. Oh, we knocked it out of the park. It was so good. But he came to me. I've got a version of that song. It's not the one that's maybe represents us as a choir, but it's still the same words, and you'll get to hear the message of the song, written by a guy named Squire Parsons, who is a regular on Gaither. I don't know much about him other than he seems to be there quite a bit on the Gaither Homecoming group. I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. The message is, He came to me. My golden text for the Christmas season is always Luke 2:11. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That's always. It always has been my golden text. Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. 750 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah heard from God. Now what Isaiah says beyond this is a prophecy for the millennial thousand years of peace after the Battle of Armageddon. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order and establish it with judgment and justice. I love justice. Oh, I hate injustice, and we see a lot of that today. It irritates me to no end. Why can't people just do right, obey the law, obey the rules? I just can't understand why it's so interesting to break the law that keeps us as one country and one people. And a lawbreaker, it disturbs the peace. From that, okay, so to order and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord will perform this. So this promise of a child, of a son, was given way beyond the time Jesus was born. Then let's go to Luke chapter 2, and that takes us into that time. This 2,000 years ago, in verse 6, and so it was that while they were there, they were in Bethlehem, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 8 says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said unto them, the common angel line is, don't be afraid. Well, yeah, it's easy for you to say. You're the angel. We're the people that are afraid. The angel said, don't be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I want you to know that God so loved the world, he gave his son. So everything that's promised by the word of God through Jesus Christ is for everybody, for all, for anyone that will yield to him. I'll read it again. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Aren't you glad when you have a sign, when you kind of, oh, this is what we're going to expect, and because of that we can accept the good news that the angels talks about. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. All that was brought by Jesus Christ was good to this world. And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said one to another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which was come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. Excuse me. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled. Can you imagine hearing that kind of news? I think a lot of people today, instead of marveling, would say, no big deal, I don't believe it. But the shepherds were eyewitnesses. We saw it. God sent an angel, and then we went to check out what he promised, and it's real. It's real. So when they had seen them, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all those who heard it marveled in the things which were told to them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all of the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful today for your great word. We're thankful for every promise. We're thankful for every hope, every opportunity that you've given us. Constant, abiding love. All the many things, Lord, you've covered in our lives. and you've covered it all. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you for loving us so much. And thank you, Lord, for loving us so much that we can receive your son and become a part of your family. I pray that everyone, as we leave today, that we've made that choice, or that we continue to walk in the choice we made years and years and years ago. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing us into your family and for giving us a home that awaits us. And when we go from here, we're going to be present with you. Only because of Jesus. We thank you and give you glory. Amen. So this is the story about the birth of a baby. This is our nativity scene with the angel that looks too feminine and the wise men here, even though they didn't come till later. But the most important part of this is the little baby in the manger. Years ago, we did a Christmas play about who stole the baby. And it seems like Gail had a lot to do with that. She may have been the director that year. But it was along the theme of Dragnet. And we had that theme constant. I love the Dragnet theme. How many? And we had someone playing a Sergeant Friday-like character. Please, ma'am, just the facts. You know? But the thing that's most important is the baby. Because God loved this world so much that he wanted to give us a gift that was eternal and that everybody could benefit from. You know, there's some times that you can't help all the people who are in need. We help a few, but there's still more. You can't feed all of the hungry because there's always more hungry. But Jesus fills every heart that will come to him, and there's plenty of Jesus to go around. I want to keep this very simple, and it's not going to be a long message, so you don't have to shout yet, but you know. Everything promised in the Word of God. Every word. I was reading something out of Timothy the other day, and I thought, wow, that's a great promise. And I thought, yeah, but it's because of that baby. Everything promised, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All of the good things, all of the little scripture verses that we hang on to. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Excuse me. All of those things come because of the baby. Every scripture has power because of Jesus. I believe today that God is able to help us all. I believe he's able to minister to you in this service today. How many believes that? God's hand is not shortened. God's power is not limited. God can touch you today. And why is that? Because Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Because of the baby, we can have hope today. Excuse me. Every soul that's ever been saved, how many saved? You're saved because of that baby. Everyone that's ever been healed, I've been healed a lot of times, thank God. I'd be a mess if I weren't healed of some of those things. And there's people here today that you need a healing touch. You can receive that through Jesus Christ. Every deliverance, I've heard of great deliverances, people delivered from all kinds of things. Every provision, everything that we need, excuse me, many things that we want, every blessing, every good thing that comes down from the Father above, all love. The world has a version of love, but it's not real. God loved the world, he gave his son. all love. And as Debbie mentioned, hope. We live in a world that's full of fighting. One of the scriptures that we read earlier, that the government should be upon the shoulders of Jesus. Today we have a lot of people complaining about the president. Let me tell you about millennium. No complaints. Complaints will be dealt with much harsher than any. And when we went to Singapore, they told us, don't complain about the president. Excuse me. Don't complain about the religion or anything political, because you'll be shut down. That's control. Excuse me, we don't have that in America. Excuse me just a second, let me get something warm. All peace, the grace of God, the mercy of God, forgiveness. Every time we go to the Lord and say, forgive me of my sins, it's all because of Jesus. All because of the baby that was born. He is God with us, and he shall save his people from their sin. So it's all about the Son. It's all about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He intercedes for us now, and one day he is going to reign. I heard, I turned on a program this morning, and on that program there was a cardinal that was given, you know, kind of a Christmas message. His name was Cardinal Dolan. And I listened to it just a minute while he said, the answer to America's division is the baby that was born in the manger. And I thought, that's pretty good. That is absolutely the case. No matter where you, what state you're in life, and what, if you're a regular guy or you're the president of the United States, it's Jesus is the answer to every situation. I'm going to read the words to this song, and then we're going to play the song by John Starnes. Since I didn't have a version from Calvary Temple Choir a few years ago, we'll listen to John. But this is a song, and I don't by any means say that he came to me as some sort of a demand that I've made. Jesus didn't come because we demanded him to come. He came because we had a need that we could not satisfy. I think that was Jimmy Swaggart's message, that no matter what we do, we can't save ourselves. We don't have the ability. Most people, if God said be good for 2 minutes, we couldn't do it. Look at Adam and Eve. Don't eat the apple. Okay. Now what's happened? But Jesus came to cover our sins. The song says, the gulf that separated me from Christ my Lord, it was so vast, the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to his domain, it seemed so far. You know how far it is from heaven to here? I don't either. It's a long ways, though. It's a different world. From where I was to his domain, it seemed so far. I cried, dear Lord, come. I cannot come to where you are. And he came to me. Oh, he came to me when I could not come to where he was. He came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. He came to me when I was bound in chains of sin. He came to me when I possessed no hope within. He picked me up and drew me gently by his side, where today in his sweet love I now abide. I can't imagine being without the Lord. He came to me, oh, he came to me when I could not come to where he was. He came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. Yes, he came to me. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. And that's why he died on Calvary. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. We could not ever approach God had not Jesus came. It was his initiative. What I'm trying to get across is if he came to give us salvation, he came to walk with us every day. He is the greatest gift that we'll get any Christmas season, and he is eternal. Donnie, how do I get this song to play? Thank you. Appreciate these guys knowing how to work this computer.
The gulf that separated me from Christ my Lord. It was so vast, the crossing I could never fold. From where I was to his domain, it seemed so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are. He came to me. Chains of my sin, he came to me when I could find no peace within. Then he reached down and drew me gently to his side. And today, in his sweet love, I now abide. He came to me. That's why he died. Oh.
He's the Lord. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? He came to us, but he died on Calvary so we could stay in his presence, that we could always abide in his peace. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful for you. So thankful that you came. So thankful, Lord, that you abide with us, that you've saved us, you've made us brand new. Thank you so much for your great love, for your great power. Lord, come to us today with your touch. Bring your strength, bring your healing power, restoration power, provision, oh God. Whatever your people needs today, Lord, I pray you'll bring that blessing. Oh, we honor and give you glory. We honor and give you glory. Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Holy God, if you need anything today, rather than me laying hands on you today, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. He came to us. Lord Jesus, come right now to your people. Minister very present help. Lord, Sister Watson that's not with us this morning, I pray that you'll give her strength. Lord, miracles of healing. And for Jen and Ken, Lord, your great blessing. Lord, right now, come upon us with your power. Lord, bring strength, bring healing, deliverance, oh Lord. We honor you today for every need met, Lord, for the direction that we need from you, for the leading, the guidance. Help us. We surrender, Lord, to your will. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. Praise God. We're going to receive our communion this morning. I thought, you know, what a greater time to receive communion than on the day we celebrate the birth of Christ. Because he came, and it was beautiful. Even though he was born in dire situation, it was beautiful. But the death was cruel and hurtful. But he did that so that we could enjoy fellowship with him and all the benefits of communion. Dom, would you pass this out? Debbie, you want to come to the... Well, you can just sit there. That's fine. Just relax today. Do you need a hand? This communion was prepared by Debbie. My hands didn't touch it. And she washed hers, yeah. She followed the code. I love this Christmas season. I love this song, Silent Night, we sang earlier. And it's just beautiful to me. There's just something about a peace that is with us when people kind of slow down a bit, and many people don't have a clue of who Jesus is. But I appreciate the fact that they hear the songs that testify of Jesus. And every time we can do that, every time we can just hear the words, it's a blessing. I was in a Pentecostal service 40 years ago, and when it got this quiet, the pastor got nervous. He said, "Come on, someone sing, do something." I'm fine with just the stillness of the Spirit of God. I believe God can move any which way, don't you? And we're taking this communion because we want to remember not only the birth of Christ, but the sacrifice and the benefit that it is to you and I. Jesus had given thanks. He broke the bread and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which was broken for you. This do ye in remembrance of me." Lord, bless this bread that represents your body. We do this, Lord, to remember your birth, your life, your death, your suffering, your resurrection, and your ascension. And we recognize that you're hearing us today. Thank you for the gift of your life, your body, and bless it to us as we partake. We take, Lord, the things that are salvation, healing, strength, and deliverance to us. In Jesus' name. It's always difficult to speak after you've had a cracker. In the same manner, he took the cup after the supper. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." So we proclaim with this, Lord, you've died, but we're looking for your coming. Donnie, would you ask the blessing over the blood, over the cup, brother?
Heavenly Father, it's difficult, Lord, to consider your death and your birth, Lord God, in the same thought, but your life was a life of complete and total purpose, and you were born to die, to shed your blood, Lord God, the forgiveness of our sins, the covering of our sins, giving us the opportunity for new life and reconciliation, Lord God. And we just thank you for the anointed blood that was spilled, Lord God, on our behalf.
Amen. Let's take together. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the birth. We thank you for coming to us. We thank you, Jesus, for your perfect life so that you might be the sacrifice and the high priest. Thank you for your blood that was shed on Calvary. We thank you, Jesus, for your great power. You're coming back. You're going to rule and reign in a while. But we pray, Lord, that you'll minister and rule and reign in our lives right now. Touch your people with the daily needs we have. Bring us strength, Lord, each and every day. Your direction and bring inspiration of who you are. We love you, Jesus. We pray that you'll go with us this Christmas season, Lord, that you'll give everyone good fellowship, family, lots of love. I pray, Lord, that we'll all feel warm and welcome wherever we are. Lord, and as we look to the new year, that you'll give us hope that is beyond anything we've ever had. We honor you today. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you all for being a part of our service. Thank you for every gift and for every card and the cookies and all the good things. We honor you, and we pray that the Lord will bless you every day and your families. I don't know how many has over 10 people in your family, not your immediate family, but you know, brothers and sisters and sons and daughters. And we pray that God bless you all. You may be dismissed, and we will... Oh! Debbie, you almost let me forget. There's lemons that we've got on the going out this way. There's also some food that Doug, Doug's son Andrew, gets stuff from where he works, and he got some extra stuff. And we said, Doug, we don't want to take, he said, believe me, I got much more, so we want to share. And help yourself, anything that looks good to you, the lemons, take some donuts home. Let's celebrate sweetly. God bless you.